How to Build Your Wardrobe, Part 1. All right, to start off with, guys, this is a four-part series, and I'm going to first talk about some very general things when building your wardrobe. Now, why is building your wardrobe important? Why even go through this? Why focus on something when there are so many other things that could occupy your time? When you have the right wardrobe, what you really have is a system. Think of it like a garage, where all the tools are in place, where everything is where it should be, where when you need something, you can find it. When you have something break, you have the tools to get it fixed. And you know that you have them because you can see them. And that's really the system you're looking to create with your wardrobe, so that when you wake up in the morning, it's easier to dress sharp than it is to dress to dress down. You can tell if you need to replenish your dress shirts. You can tell if something is out of place because you've got the right wardrobe. Now, I know that many of us are constricted. We don't necessarily have a walk-in closet. I don't have one either. And we'll be talking about strategies to get around that. But the first thing when building a wardrobe is you have to make the commitment to build the wardrobe. So this is where you are, before you're spending a dime, you're talking with people, you're letting people know what you're going to be doing, and you go through what you currently have, and you have to assess the situation. So look through your clothing. There are probably outfits and pieces of clothing that you haven't worn for years that have noticeable stains, or they fit so poorly that not even a master tailor can remedy the situation. These you want to pack up and mark for the Salvation Army. You shouldn't be wearing this clothing. You keep it in this off chance that, you know, your body, I don't know, maybe it's going to change. Your shoulders are going to grow out, or you're going to grow 3 inches. I know I used to buy clothing. I got into the habit when I was younger of buying clothing for when I'm going to get bigger. But most of us stop growing at the age of 18 to 21. Although we're going to grow a little bit out in the midsection, that's a whole nother issue. But you want, again, if it's got a stain, if it fits very poorly, if you haven't worn it for a couple of years, mark it and get it out of the way. What that does is all of a sudden it allows you to see a clearer picture of what you have and what you need to start focusing on. Next, make sure at the same time, probably, you're actually teaching yourself and you're building a foundation in men's style. Of course, listening to this audiobook is going to help a bit, but you also need to practice a bit. You need to get engaged with people. I recommend the Art of Manliness' style community. Visiting my guides over at A Tailored Suit, Real Men, Real Style. There's tons of articles over at the Art of Manliness in the wardrobe section, but also going to forums like Style Forum, Ask Andy. Places like this where you can go in and you can communicate with people, you can see what's up and coming, and you can test your knowledge. But at the end of the day, make sure to build a solid foundation in men's style. You also may want to consider purchasing the books Gentleman by Bernhard Rozell, Anything by Alan Flusser. And there's another one called Elegant Man. Since I've done a review on it, it seems like it's much harder to find. I may have to do just a deep audiobook version of this, my reading and interpretation of it, because I think it's just such a great book. So contact me if you think that's something I need to do. But let's break down the types of men and their clothing needs. Now, in the article, I go very specific, but understand that, again, I'm taking the 3.5 billion men in the world, and I'm breaking them up into four categories. Obviously, I'm going to miss a few, and I'm most likely missing you. But you need to find, and this should give you an idea of what you need, items that should be in the constant professional's wardrobe. Now, first, who is the constant professional? Well, this is the guy that's always on the clock. He's the lawyer. He's the banker. He's the guy that even on the weekends, he can expect to possibly run into a client, and he needs to look good on Sundays and Saturdays. But Monday through Friday, he's wearing a suit. In the evenings, if he goes out to dinner, again, he's got to be on his toes because he could run into his accountant, and he's got to be ready 24/7. Usually lives in a larger city or in a town where, again, he is the professional. So I've got 6 suits, 3 pairs of dress shoes, 2 pairs of casual leather shoes, belts that match the above shoes, and a tip with shoes: anytime you buy a pair of shoes, buy a matching belt at the same time. That way you don't have to worry about it. 15 plus dress shirts. Now, dress shirts, I always recommend a man own at least 2 to 3 times when it comes to the number of suits. And the reason being is a dress shirt is much less expensive than a suit, will wear out quicker, but gives you could wear the same suit with a solid blue, a solid white, and a solid pink, and it's going to look like almost an entirely different outfit. 15 plus ties. Now, this, you know, give or take some, but a man should, all of the ties he owns, he should wear. So if you've got novelty ties, if you've got ties which you haven't, again, worn for decades, consider getting rid of them. The only exception's going to be a black tie. I keep my black tie for funerals. One pair of jeans that fits, no holes. You can go for a few more pairs, but I prefer dark colored jeans that perhaps you want to wear out in the evening or you want to wear on the weekend, but you'd be wearing them with a sports jacket or could wear them with a sports jacket. 4 pairs of slacks, dark and light. 4+ button-up collared sports shirts. 2+ polo shirts. 5+ sweaters. Now, this, of course, depends on where you're at. If you're down in Arizona, you're going to need less, but although those desert nights, it does get cold. And if you're up in Wisconsin like I am, you may want to consider more. 10+ undershirts. I prefer V-neck undershirts. And the reason being is I don't have to wear, when I'm not wearing a tie, I don't have to worry about the undershirt showing underneath. 2+ sports jackets, 1 navy blazer, 10+ pocket squares. Now, you may not be a pocket square guy, so in that case, at least own a few handkerchiefs that are solid white, because that is the easiest pocket square to wear. You know, fold it like a straight fold, the TV fold. Harry Truman used to pull it off all the time. It's a great look, classic, and a pocket square with a navy blazer or a sports jacket, especially if you're not wearing a tie, gives it a very regal look. 2 simple dress watches. Optional. Not all of us wear dress watches. I understand in today's technology, you know, you may not need it. You've got, you know, your smartphone gives you all that info. 1 overcoat. This is important. A lot of guys skip on this, and then when the weather goes down and they need to dress nice, they end up wearing a parka or something that does not fit with the suit they're wearing. 1 pair of leather gloves, 1 trench coat, 1 hat. Leather gloves, I think, are pretty important. A lot of guys skip on this. Try to find a pair that fits you well, take good care of them, and make sure they go well with your overcoat. The hat, optional. I know probably 95% of you guys are not going to wear a hat. I put it in there because if you're in a place where it would be functional, then all of a sudden it makes sense. Let's say you're in Seattle or you're up in the Northeast and you're going to be doing a lot of commuting. A hat makes a lot of sense covering your head in inclement weather. Little things like presentable athletic clothing, a lot of guys never even think about this until it's too late, but there are company events in which you're going to be doing something athletic and you don't want to just show up and, you know, in an old t-shirt and your ratty shorts that you normally wear to the gym. Things that would be helpful for the constant professional to have. I think a full black tie ensemble is important. So being able to have your own tux. Now, you need to weigh this. There are, you know, if you're in a smaller town, you may be the lawyer, but you may never need a tuxedo. In that case, understood. But if you're in a city like New York or Chicago or even Miami, you're going to want to consider a tuxedo, especially if the circles you're running in are ones that it could become something. Because if there's a black tie optional event or a black tie requested event, you want to be able to rock a tux. You don't have to worry about, you don't want to worry about the time and putting it together. And most men find when they own a tuxedo, they find events to wear it to. The business owner's wardrobe. All right, this is a true to me. I'm a business owner, and I think it's important for business owners, investors, for you guys to dress a little bit higher up than you necessarily think you need to. And the reason being is you are always looking for opportunity. And people are going to make quick judgments about your business based off of how you appear. Because you may own a compost company. But if you're wearing a suit or you're looking sharp and you're out on the town, you may be talking with a guy who just may be providing you your next round of investment. And you want to put off that you're competent, that, you know, he'll look at you and perhaps even wonder if you're in the wrong industry. But what you want to come across is, you know, I can dress in any environment and I'm a good investment. I'm a good bet. So items that should be in the business owner's wardrobe, at least one suit. If you're in the city, more than this. One plus pair of dress shoes. Kind of, you know, at least if you're going to have two or three suits, then at least have two pairs of dress shoes. Two pairs of casual leather shoes. And when I say casual leather shoes, these are dress, they can be slip-ons, they can be, what we're really looking for is for, don't go with something clumsy. Doc Martens are not casual leather dress shoes. Doc Martens are, because of the size of the heel, they are really, I would say they're casual leather dress shoes. And belts that match the above shoes. So again, that tip on always buying a belt. 10 plus dress shirts. Now, I say, you know, 10 plus dress shirts, but you could also mix in more casual shirts with this. So use fabrics like chambray or go with a shirt that is a bit more casual, perhaps has a bit of a pattern in it. 3 plus ties. Obviously, less ties, you're rarely wearing them, but you do want to have a few simple conservative ties that you can wear to the bank or you can wear to that big event you've been invited to. 2 pairs of well-fitted jeans. You're probably going to be able to wear jeans more than the constant professional. And in this case, make sure they fit you well and they're dark colored. 5 pairs of slacks, dark and light. These slacks are probably what you're going to wear the majority of the time unless you're working with your hands. Slacks are always above jeans in terms of formality. They're wearing slacks with a dress shirt is always below a suit, but slacks with a dress shirt, perhaps a sports jacket, is a very professional look throughout most of the world, and you'll be able to get away with it unless you're, you know, in a large city. 5 plus button-up collared sports shirts. So these sports shirts are going to be for hotter weather. In case you're out in the field, these are going to be shirts that they're considered sport because they have a more casual styling to them. They use darker fabrics, or they use fabrics which are not cotton. They may use, you can go, and again, it depends on your needs, but you can go to a place like REI and find collared shirts which look really nice but are ultra high performance. Well, this makes sense for you to own a shirt like this if you're in, you know, if your company is a backpacking company and you're finding, hey, on any afternoon, you may have to jump in a four-wheel drive and go out and check out something. So 5 plus sweaters, again, pretty simple number, depends on what your environment is. 5 solid polo shirts. So you want to go solid because they're going to be the most versatile. And polo shirts in general, because of the collar, but they're short sleeve, they can be dressed up or dressed down. So the cool thing about solid colored polo shirts is they can easily be matched with sports jackets. 10 plus underneck V-shirts again, 2 plus sports jackets. I think a sports jacket is probably one of the best investments and one of the most underutilized items in a business owner or, you know, anyone that's, you know, an entrepreneur, that you need to have one of these in your wardrobe. 1 simple dress watch, optional, and items that would be helpful. A navy blazer. Now, I put a navy blazer here because it's dressier than a normal sports jacket, and it's also not as versatile because it's right below a suit, but yet it doesn't replace a suit. 5 plus pocket squares. I think a pocket square is a great way to show individuality. Again, try starting off with a white one if you're just new to them. An overcoat. I think a must-have, but I put in there optional. Depends on the conditions of where you live. 1 pair of leather gloves, a trench coat, a hat, collar stays, and cufflinks. And by the way, I forgot to mention the collar stays and cufflinks for above, but for the constant professional, you know, I'm kind of backtracking here, but I think at least 1 French cuff dress shirt is nice to have. It can really up the level if you're wearing a suit and, with a dark suit, it's right below and with a very simple conservative tie, the right shoes, right below black tie. The uniform man. Now, the uniform man is the UPS driver. He's the military man. He's the cop. He's the guy who has something that's issued to him or that he wears every day to work because he's going to get it dirty, because he has certain requirements. He needs certain versatility. But when he does need to dress, he's usually having to dress in his own clothing in the evenings or on the weekends. However, just because you're a uniform man does not exempt you from a suit. And in fact, I think having a suit is incredibly important because it's one of those things that so many guys fall down on. But your little girl is going to get married. you're going to have some event that you're going to get recognized for, and you want to have a good fitted suit for this event. So at least once a year, try on the suit that you keep there. Make sure everything on it is simple, timeless, classic, because you may only pull that out once every 2 years and wear it. But when you do wear it, you don't want to look like a fool. You want to look like a man who knows what he's doing and is used to wearing this type of clothing. One pair of dress shoes. Keep them simple. Keep them black, perhaps dark brown, but make sure you've got a matching belt. I would go black. Again, it's you don't have to think a whole lot about it, and it's never going to go out of style. One plus pair of casual leather shoes. These are going to be more for the weekends and the evenings. Depends on how much you go out as to how many pairs of shoes you're going to need. If you go out multiple times in the week, you're taking your wife out to dinner 3 or 4 nights a week, you need more than one pair. Belts that match the above shoes, 4 plus dress shirts. You can increase this, decrease this. Depends on, again, how often you're going out. I think simple white shirts that fit well work well for the uniform man. Oftentimes, if you're a uniform man, you work with your hands, you take care of your body a lot of times. So in this case, make sure the dress shirt fits properly. It's going to look great. You can go with a simple white with, you know, a nice pair of dark fitted jeans, and you're going to look good. You're going to look a lot better than all those other guys going out there in t-shirts. I still think you should wear a sports jacket with it, but I definitely understand if, you know, you're just not going to make that happen. 3 plus ties. Again, you need to have some ties. You can probably go, maybe 3 is the most you need. It's just one of those things. If you get wear your suit for a funeral, you want a dark, simple one. If you're going to a wedding, wear a little bit more lively, a little bit more color. 2 pairs of slacks, dark and light. You can increase this, again, depending on whether or not you're going out. 2 pairs of well-fitted jeans. Again, keep the jeans dark. Anything past the 2 pairs, you can start to introduce medium or lighter colors. 3 solid polo shirts, 3 sweaters, 5 plus undershirts, V-neck, of course, 1 sports jacket, 1 simple dress watch. And now some items that would be helpful to have. A navy blazer. Depends on how often you're going out. I think a sports jacket's going to probably be better for most men. 3 plus pocket squares if you really want to take it up to the next level. 1 overcoat, 1 pair of leather gloves, 1 hat, and collar stays, cufflinks. You know, one thing about the uniform man is he's probably actually used to wearing headwear more than most. He sees the use of it. As a former Marine, we wore hats, or covers as we call them, every single day and every day on base. So wearing a hat isn't necessarily foreign to you, and maybe something you want to bring in. The casual creative wardrobe. Now, this one is the one you can have the most fun with, and I find we're getting a bigger and bigger casual creative audience out there. These are guys that are programmers, are designers, are marketers, and they're in an environment in which creativity is valued, but conformity is dreaded. Now, I like that, but at the same time, look around. Pretty much people are conforming by all dressing like slobs, and this is where you can really take it to the next level. So, items that should be in the creative casual wardrobes. 1 suit and 2 ties, just in case. I've got a great story about a client who I made a black tie outfit for. He was a programmer. And it just turned out he was in Austin, Texas, and Bill Gates was going through. There was a big event. It was black tie. He had 6 hours notice. He was the only programmer in his entire building, it seemed like, that had black tie available. And he was able to represent, you know, it's not that he was the best programmer. It was that he was the one prepared. So you need to be prepared for opportunity. And there's nothing wrong with being known as one of the better dressed guys, because people associate, of course, you've got to prove yourself. But if all other factors are the same, you're going to find that you're going to be given an opportunity because you can be client facing. You can be somebody that they can trust to go out there and to interact with clients. So 1 suit and 2 ties, like I mentioned, 1 pair of dress shoes, 2 pairs of casual leather shoes. You could try something a bit creative here. You can go for suede, maybe try some saddle shoes, belts that match, of course. 10 plus dress shirts. I think that you should ditch the t-shirt many cases, and actually wear a dress shirt. And you can wear this with denim and, you know, with a type of boot, and it's going to look good. At the same time, you're not going to be looking like you're going to an interview, but you're also not going to be, in a sense, conforming and just wearing the sneakers and the jeans and the t-shirt. 6-plus buttoned-up collared sports shirts. I think this is going to be your evening and weekend go-to. It depends on where you're at. If you're in Portland or Austin, Texas, you may want to have, you know, even a few more of these. If you're in Chicago, the dress shirts may work better and may get you into more places. 4 pairs of well-fitted jeans. Now, there's a difference between ratty, whole jeans that look like they belong on a rock star, which, I'm sorry, they may call you a rock star or a ninja, but you're neither. I hate those terms, by the way, because rock stars are rock stars. Ninjas, they were in feudal Japan, and they were assassins. So just they weren't programmers, by the way. But, okay, the point I'm getting at, guys, is 4 pairs of well-fitted jeans. I don't hit them being dark, but dark jeans are always going to look better. They're always going to look better. 2 solid polo shirts. Now, you may not even want to have a polo shirt. You may feel it conforms. You may just feel it doesn't. Polo shirts are nice, though, because if you're going to be doing some type of activity in which you're going to be sweating, the weave of the cotton, it's kind of a gauze weave, and it's going to allow moisture to really pull right off. 6 sweaters. Depends on where you're at. If it's really, if you're in a, you know, up north, that'll work. If you're down south, probably less sweaters, but I find sweaters are incredibly versatile, allow you to look sharp at the same time that they're not a suit. 10-plus undershirts, 1-plus sports jacket, unique style or a fabric. This is where you could have fun. So you don't have to go with the dress-looking sports jackets you see at the men's warehouse. You can actually go choose a really fun fabric, maybe something a bit actually outlandish or out there, and have fun with this, because it's going to be the design and the cut of that jacket that's going to make it look a bit more formal. But in your field, you're allowed to kind of spice this up with the fabric. A simple watch, 5-plus pocket squares. I think pocket squares in this field look great. It adds a bit of class. At the same time, it also allows you to infuse color. An overcoat, you know, it depends on where you're at. I think here, possibly the, I'm looking at the article. I didn't even list it, but actually the trench coat is a great thing here. The number of pockets and I think in Austin, Texas, for the winter wear, a trench coat would look great, especially, you know, if you get a little bit of rain down there, or actually more in the Portland or the Seattle area. Items that would be helpful. Consider vests. Vests are nice because they don't constrict the arms. And they don't look like a jacket is constrictive, but at the same time, they really will dress up an outfit. And if you're a little bit heavier, or if you've got a little bit of a midsection, a vest can help create a much more monochromatic look, while at the same time, just giving you a bit more freedom and movement. 1 pair of leather gloves, 1 hat, and of course, collar stays and cufflinks, which the cufflinks, I guess you can get a bit more creative. All right. So in summary, I forgot to talk about allotting the time and resources. So this is important. This is a really big point, which a lot of people skip over. But the amount of money you're going to spend on building your wardrobe depends on how much time you have. Because if you've got a lot of time, you can spend a lot less money because you have the luxury of looking for the best deal. However, if you have almost no time, then that's when, you know, I get a lot of my clients, they really don't have the time and they need to make something happen. And that's where I'm in business, because I specialize in building wardrobes for people that don't have the time, or they make enough money that the amount they're going to pay me is going to free them up to make even more. So make sure to put aside the right amount of money. And again, if you're really strapped for cash, you're a student, there are many different tactics you can take to building out a wardrobe. I'm going to talk about that in another article, but you can get the same wardrobe, a wardrobe for $500, a wardrobe for $5,000. And the difference oftentimes is that the guy that spent $500 maybe spent 10 times as much time putting it together. And maybe a number of his outfits are used or have been adjusted, or, you know, there are things like that. But on the other hand, for him, he had the time. And then there's the other gentleman who he looks just as great, but he needed it done immediately, and he spent a little bit more money. All right, this has been Antonio Centeno. I will see you in the next audio section. How to Build Your Wardrobe, Part 2.